Ohio are you on?
I am. I'm on a sailboat to Serenity. And you'll understand that alliteration as we go through this topic today.
A very thematic. Yes, I like it. Yeah.
How's it going up there in the cold Wisconsin? I shouldn't have said that. I should have just said Wisconsin so you could have answered cold.
Yes. Yes, but cold Wisconsin, it's like saying, I don't know, it's repetitive. It's like, yes. What's up there in Wisconsin? Well, it's, very early in the morning, and it's about 11 degrees, and I'm ready to geocache some scripture.
Hey, you're on a heat wave. 11 degrees.
Absolutely, man.
Hey, I got a question for you.
All right. Well,
and, since you're in Wisconsin, you might have an answer to this. Have you ever been caught in a storm and wondered if you were going to come out alive? I mean, like even a snowstorm or a blizzard up there.
I was going to say, yeah. I mean, not as much a storm out on the ocean blue, but as far as like snowstorms, oh yeah. Usually driving is what makes them not so fun.
Especially the whiteouts.
Yeah, that can be a bit unnerving. Especially if you're not like I'm a transplant. I didn't grow up here, so you know a lot of Wisconsinites are like, "What's your problem, man?" You know, speed up. And I'm still just worried about it. So, but yeah, those whiteouts, those are intense. I know that. We're up in the country where, at least back in the day, out in the sticks, you had that rope that went from the barn to the house.
Yes.
Which you followed along. Because if you got lost out there, well, that was pretty much it. They just sort of divided up your overalls and called it a day and then waited for harvest.
You ever been in a plane with really violent turbulence?
A little bit. Yeah, I have been in some planes that, kind of did more of a loop-de-loop than I thought they were going to do. But
yeah,
you've lived a good fraction of your life on planes, so I'm sure you've been in some interesting ones.
Well, yeah, it's frightening. I'd read before I get on a plane, so I know they're safe. Mm-hmm. But it still freaks you out when it drops, 500 feet in a second or something like that.
And, yeah.
And all of a sudden you realize your seatbelt is holding you in. And it's just, a lot of storms. I brought this up because we all face storms in our lives. Some are literal and some are figurative. And I think some of our listeners might be going through storms right now. And it's funny because sometimes in the middle of a storm, you're in there and you're thinking, am I going to get out of this? And suddenly it's over. We just had a tornado pass through our area last night or night before last. And
in February,
it was like 5 minutes and it was gone.
Wow. Jeez, man.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it wasn't our house, but it didn't tear down any houses, this one, but it tore down some barns and lots and lots and lots of trees. But it's like all of a sudden it just dissipates, it just goes back up. Mm. And you ask, well, what happened? Who fixed this? who stopped this? It's interesting because this is a slow introduction, perhaps, to a story that Mark, the gospel writer Mark, talks about. Mm. And I wanted to share something with you, Josh. But I'm sharing it with our readers. Mark is an interesting gospel writer because his gospel is shorter than the other ones. He spends half of his gospel getting up to the last week of Jesus' life, and then he spends the rest of the gospel, the last half, really focusing on the crucifixion and death.
His favorite phrase is, and immediately, and immediately,
yes,
and immediately, and immediately. Yeah. It's like it all seemed to happen at once for Mark.
Well, and it's funny, too, because he's telling the story many years later, because he was quite young. But, he always seems to be in a hurry to get somewhere. But because of this, I think it's important to linger on some of the details in his stories. Mm. Because he is detail-oriented. And so a couple points that I thought about as I read Mark is that the details he does include must be weighted, and we should pay attention to them. And secondly, I think we should look at the stories that he does tell and ask, how do they point to the cross? Because that is his point. His whole purpose of his gospel is to point to the cross. So I have a story I'm going to share with you and see if we can pick up a couple things in them. And this is in Mark 4, beginning with verse 35. And for those of you who have your own Bible, I'll give you a moment so you can open up to Mark 4, verse 35. That's verse 35 of Mark 4.
Hey, and when you first start preaching, you don't realize how long it takes people to open up their Bibles and get to the thing. That's,
I know. And that's today, people coaching. have fat thumbs, so when they get on their phones, it takes them longer.
Yeah, it does. It does. Well, they need to check their Instagram and their Facebook and everything along on the way to their
true.
Bible app. Yes, that's right. Check your statuses. Yeah. You know, post yourself in church. Then check your Bible.
and the preacher's reading.
Oh, there he goes. Yep.
As we go there. Okay, so it says, on that day, when evening had come, he said to them, let's go across the other side. Now, there's a whole story here, and what had happened was he had shared four parables and some other things, but he's going across the other side of the lake. Leaving the crowd behind, they took him with them in the boat, just as he was. Other boats were with him. A great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat so that the boat was already being swamped. But he was in the stern, asleep on the cushion, and they woke him up and said to him, teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? And waking up, he rebuked the wind and said to the sea, be silent, be still. And then the wind ceased, and there was a dead calm. And he said to them, why are you afraid? Have you still no faith? And they were filled with a great fear and said to one another, who then is this, that not even the wind and the sea obey him? Now, it's interesting that in Jewish tradition, the sea was understood to be the place where demons would reside. And especially when there's a storm, that is the enemy rising up and trying to overcome and trying to take us on. It was a realm of the satanic, and it was the place of chaos. So not only were they afraid, but you could say they were scared out of their wits, because they were thinking that some spiritual warfare was taking place or was after them. And they're wondering, where's Jesus? And he's asleep at the stern on a cushion. Now, so unlike today's boats and the captain's chairs and the motor and all the controls in the middle, Jesus is asleep at the stern, which means he's in the pilot's chair.
Really?
He's where the rudder is.
And so he's taking a nap?
Taking a nap in a storm.
Even not in a storm. That, you know, that doesn't seem like a great idea.
Yeah. You know, and we could say he was asleep on the job, but we don't want to say that because this is Jesus.
Right. No. And I don't know. I mean, it could be very well that this is tradition that you took out, you know, I mean, if they're out doing what they usually do, fishing or whatever, maybe that you took out your boat and then you could just moor it and sit. Yeah. And take a nap. But who knows? But sleeping through a storm. And we have to keep in mind too, this is not a yacht with a sleeping cabin. I mean, if you've ever seen any of the, you know, sort of the artist renditions or anything, this is a very much like an open, at best, like a Viking boat.
Actually, I've seen more than a artist rendition. Yeah. They found a boat that was 2000 years old, and they have a whole film over there about how they were able to dig it up and bring it to a museum. And it's amazingly small, you know, and they have boats on the sea there where you can get on and they'll take you on a ride. And it's very similar to the boats that they fished in. And so these are not large boats, but they did hold, you know, 13 or 14 people, evidently.
Yeah, 13 or 14 smaller first century people, not... Well, not 21st century Americans.
They weren't me and you.
That's right.
But here's the point. I mean, how could he fall asleep, Josh, in the middle of a storm?
Right.
There's only one way he could, and that is if he had total trust. He wasn't afraid. And he, I mean, it's like, don't you wish you had the faith of Jesus that you just knew, and no matter what airplane you're on, no matter what the turbulence is, you're in God's hands. It's okay.
Amen.
No matter what happens, you're okay. He's so calm, he falls asleep. So they wake him up and they say, "Don't you care that you're dying?" And he wakes up, looks around, and he rebukes the storm. And I don't know how he did it. Did he yell, "Be still," or did he just stop, stand up, and say, "Be still," put his hand out, "Be still,"
Yeah, who
you know?
knows? Who knows?
But anyway, the storm stops, and the questions all of a sudden is no longer, "What is wrong with you?" It's, "Oh my, who is this man?"
Who is this? Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Who can stop a storm?
Yeah.
I mean, I like this, Josh, because I remind myself of this when I go through storms in my life. And I think what Mark is trying to tell us here, that we sometimes forget, we get scared, we crap because we forget whose hands we're in. You know, and remember the scripture that says, "Nothing can snatch you out of my hands, and even if they could, nothing can snatch you out of my Father's hands." You know, we forget who is truly in charge, and Mark is telling us who's on our side. So it's interesting because here the disciples are amazed, asking, "Who is this?" They saw a miracle, one that saved their lives, and it's clear they shared that story with others because Mark is writing it down. But there's another little point in there that was in the story. Did you pick it up?
No, tell me. Tell me. I'm not, I
Other,
don't have my detail
other.
glasses on yet.
He had one little sentence in there. It said, "Other boats are with were with them."
Huh.
So here you got the storm going on, and let's remind ourselves, there's a storm. So they're not doing a nice little caravan and you know, just sloppy beside each other. This storm probably separated them by quite a distance. And if it's a
Sure.
dark and stormy night, they don't even see each other.
Yeah.
So the other sailors didn't see Jesus asleep. They did not see him stand up and say, "Be still." All they knew was they are scared for their lives. And then all of a sudden, the storm is gone. They have no idea what's going on. So they get to the shore, and the disciples are sharing with them not about what happened, but about who happened. He's sharing them the who of the story. So I love this because the disciples were then able to change the narrative of the other sailors. It's not about what you experienced, it's about who you experienced. And I think that's what we get to do as Christ followers, is we get to tell people it's who is saving you from sinking, who is pronouncing peace, who's pronouncing silence in your storms. The word is not what, the word is who, and it is Jesus.
Pax Humana.
Cheers.